If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do. If you ever go to a church and they don't read the Word of God, stand up and walk out. Amen. That's one of the most important things that you have right there is the Word of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please? My dear God, thank you for blessing us this morning with your word. We pray, dear God, that you would speak to each one of us in accordance to your will. Dear Lord, thank you for making each one of us and creating each one of us and having a plan and a purpose for each one of us, Lord. Dear God, we just are so grateful, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing my wife to be here this morning. She's been sick for a while, so I just thank you, Lord, that you blessed her, that she was able to come this morning. We pray, Father, that you would just bless our time with you as we sit at your feet, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And this is part of the, we have a home fellowship on Tuesday night, and this is approximately where we're at, but it's a very interesting chapter, and it has some very strong points in it that I felt that this was something that God had pointed me to share with you. So we're going to start in, Helen, is it? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. We're going to start in verse 26. In chapter 5, it says, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had been brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we must to obey God rather than man. The God and our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and in so also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. And when they heard it, that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, held in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth out a little space. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do in touching this man. For before this day rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and as many obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from this man and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you found to fight against God. What had happened was that Peter and John had done a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you do something that God has ordained for you to do and you accomplish it and do it, I've been blessed to be involved in seeing some miracles that God has done, and I'm, you know, I'm blown away. But this guy's, all they did was just something very simple, and yet the people around them, okay, took an offense to it. And the thing that you always find wherever you go, if you bring Jesus Christ into your conversation, into what you're doing, you're going to get division. You are going to get people who maybe will come in with you or will not. Amen? When you make a statement to someone, and there is someone, we used to have a gentleman here, he's in, I think he's still alive, he's in Las Vegas. He used to sit in the back, and he had a cowboy hat. And every time that one of the pastors up here would say something and it impacted, he would say, "Amen, brother!" You know, and he would yell it from back there. And that's important, because I'll tell you what, the Word of God says, "I am not ashamed of the Word and the name of Jesus Christ." Amen? Amen. Yeah. Now, you see, if he has saved you and you are a different person, and you know it, and you know what God has done for you, then it doesn't make any difference what somebody is saying or doing. If God tells you to do something, you better do it. Amen?
Amen. You know?
As it turned out, they brought this guy's, and they put him in jail. And when they had put him in jail for what they did, God set him free. And they went looking for him, but they weren't there, you know. And, you know, they didn't know where they went, but God told them to go right back to the temple and start preaching the Word of God. And so this is what they were doing when these people came out and they arrested them again, you know, and they took them back to jail. I tell people, the Word of God says that someday they're going to arrest people from the pulpit, and they're going to take them out and beat them right in the street. You're going to see that. With God's help and time, you're going to see that. Okay? They're going to burn the Bibles. That's what the Word says. You're going to see that. The only Bible that you will have is what you've memorized in your heart. Yeah. And that's something that you hopefully you're doing, is memorizing the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God. In him will I trust. You see, every day, last night, I was sitting at my house, and I was studying for today, and the phone rang. And it completely disrupted my study. It completely disrupted me. It took my focus and everything. And I'm talking to God and saying, "Lord, please help me through this. I don't know why this had to happen, but you do. So I'm just going to turn it over to you." So I went in, and I think it was around 7:30, and I went to bed. And my wife looked at me and she said, "You're going to bed?" And I said, "Yeah." I didn't say anything to anybody. I just went in there and went to bed. And so I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't. I kept thinking about, "Lord, I need to study. I need to get into the Word, and I need to understand what you have for me for tomorrow." And about 9:30, my son came home, and I got up, and I heard him, so I got up, and he had to go to the store or something, so I said, "Well, that's all right, I'll go ahead and wait up on you." So I went, sat down on the computer, and I started studying. So I studied until about 10:30 or 11, but I was waiting for that peace, and I was waiting for that time when I could focus on the Word of God without distraction. And all of a sudden, that was my timing. Amen? And you see, whenever you're going through whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. These guys were in jail for doing something for God. And God took them out, and he said, I need for you to go back and do the same thing you were doing again. Yeah. So they did. You see, when God is for you, the word says, who can be against you? Amen? So it's important for us to realize. When they brought him before the council, the people there saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in the name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with doctrine. The whole thing was that these people didn't believe. They didn't want the name of Jesus Christ to be brought up, okay? And they were convicted, okay, of what was inside of them that wasn't right. See, I believe that God has given us a natural thing, which is called what? The conscience. And we know when we offend someone. We know when we take advantage of someone. We know when we offend someone. And we know when we get angry. And we know what we say and what we do. Amen? But you see, if we trust in God, the Word of God says that all things happen for the good for those who love God. Now, if it's for your good and mine, why do we get offended? Why do we get angry? Why don't we say, thank you, Lord? Yeah. I don't know what this means, dear God, but you do, you know. See, these people were offended because they were doing something, this man were doing something that they couldn't do. You see, a lot of times we see people who have joy and peace about them in a way that very different. You know, they don't get distracted and they don't get stirred up by circumstances and what have you. And we look at them and sometimes you wonder, oh, I wish I could be like that. You can. You see, this is why God has come into you so that you can overcome those things with the Holy Spirit of God helping you. Amen? Yeah. It's an important thing that you might hear, but I'll tell you what, please apply it. You see, if you don't apply the Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How are you going to taste the goodness of God if you don't obey God? Amen. Yeah. You see, God wants to give you something, and he has something for you. Remember the man that said, I believe, help me with my unbelief? You see, don't stop and question God. Question yourself. Okay. Because, see, we place all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of things in front of us that deter us, and they keep us from the best, which is what God has for us. Amen? When these guys started preaching again, they didn't say, oh, you know, what happens if those guys come back? Those guys are always going to come back. Amen? That problem is always going to come back into your life until you overcome it with God's help so that it won't come back on you. Amen? You see, you're going to go through something until you overcome it, until you learn and you understand that when God is for you, you don't have to worry about that. And sometimes we get into those types of things that we, for whatever reasons, we doubt God. Well, I don't know, you know. It's all right for you. How about when people call and ask you to pray for them? And I don't know about you, but I always like to point out to people, how about if you pray and I'll agree with you? Oh, no. I don't want to pray. That's why I called you, because I said, why? Yeah, why? You mean, do you think that I have a direct line to God? Yes, you do. No. Wait a second. I said, so do you. You see, when you talk to God and you talk to God from your heart, you've got a direct line. When you talk to God and you're honest, you got a direct line. You don't have to get a business signal. You don't have to worry about distractions. You don't have to worry about nothing. You're right there. And God is listening to you, and God is going to help you. See, this is one of the most important things that we, you know, we have something that I was going to share with you later, but the Lord just put it in my heart now. You notice how every time that we have a whole bunch of killings somewhere, we have a prayer vigil the day after, where a whole bunch of people come together that week and they bring all kinds of little things to put there in memory of and what have you. And when we have a destruction like the hurricane, yeah, we have all kinds of things that come along and says, donate so that we can help the people over there because this and this and this happened. You see that over and over on television. You see it on the newspaper. People talk about it. I want to ask you something very simple. How many times do you hear of people saying, let's come together and let's pray for our nation? Let's talk to God and ask God to fix the problems in our country. Let's talk to God and ask God to protect us from the storms. Let's talk to God and just let God know what concerns we have in our heart. You don't see that, do you? Yeah? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about a man. In fact, I know a couple of them, but one man got singled out, and God told him, he was a black brother. And this was back in Maryland. God told him, I want you to go to the Ku Klux Klan meeting tonight. And I want you to talk to them, and this is what I want you to tell them. And the man was listening. He knew that it was God talking to him. So he went. And, you know, he got to the building where they were having the meeting, and he knocked on the front door, and these guys came out, and they were dressed with their white Ku Klux Klan thing. And, you know, they said, what can we do for you? He said, God sent me here. God sent me here. He said, he wants me to talk to your leaders. And they said, okay, come on in. So they brought him in. And they went and told their leaders, there's a guy here who, you know, claims that God sent him. And, you know, so they brought him into the whole chamber where everybody was. And he said, come on up. He said, we understand that God sent you. Yeah. And he said, yes. And he said, what did God say? He said, God told me to ask you why you hate me so much when you don't know me. Why you want to kill me when you have never met me. Why you want to hurt me and my family because of the way that God made us. See, God had a reason for making us that way. So he continued to share with them. And then he said, thank you for allowing me to come. And thank you for allowing me to share with you what God told me to share with you. He walked out. That was the last meeting that the Ku Klux Klan ever had to this day in the state of Maryland. One man, obedient to what God said, went and did what God told him to do. Never questioned, all right, what might happen to him. Lord, they might hurt me. Never thought about that. Never feared anything. Okay. You see, our fears are found in the things that we hear and understand and see here, but God said, don't be afraid of anyone. Fear God. Amen? You see, we come to church and we're taught the Word of God. Learn to take the Word of God in its entirety and what it means to you, because I'll tell you, God is telling you, this is for you. Take it and run with it. Do with it. See, I don't know how many people you run across that are sick, or how many people are hurting, or what have you. When God shows them to you, what do? Do you take the time in a restaurant to walk over to someone and say, can I pray for you? Yeah. Can I do something for you? Someone falls, do you run over there like the Good Samaritan? Or do you just watch it and keep going? Why do you think God allowed that to happen? So that you can get involved. You see, these guys got involved. They were doing something. And the Word of God says that you're going to get persecuted. We're all going to get persecuted for doing that. Okay? But look at the blessing that you got from God. You see, a lot of times, you see a lot of people standing around and they applaud someone that's doing something or whatever. But the Word of God says that the angels in heaven applaud when one comes to God. Imagine what they do when you do and obey God and it touches the life of that person. Amen? Yeah? I stopped years ago. Downtown, there was a program on the air called The Lighthouse Radio. And there was a lady that spoke on it. Her name was Sister Winnie. I had never met the lady. I always listened to the program because it really touched my heart. All these different stories of different men, different women, who had gone through terrible lifestyles and how they brought their lives in a basket, all broken up, and they gave them to God, and God put it all back together again. I don't know about you, but that's what he's done for me. Yeah. When I passed one day downtown, and I saw the building, and I said, I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna visit with this lady. I didn't know her. And I went into the front office and I said, I'd like to know if Sister Winnie is here. Yes, she's here. May I speak to her? Yes. Who are you? And I said, I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that listens on the radio and I'm just passing through. Yeah. So, sit down. So, you know, she comes out and she said, hi, can I help you? And I said, I just wanted to thank you. I said, I've been blessed to hear all the stories. I listen to your program. Once a week, I listen very faithfully. I said, I really enjoy being encouraged by the things that you share that God's done for people and the testimonies of those people. So we prayed together. And then turned around and she said, when are you going to preach here? I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm not a preacher. And I said, I'm just a regular guy. And she said, well, God told me you were going to preach here. And she said, when are you coming? I said, well, I said, if God told you that he wanted me to preach here, you ask God when he wants me here and I'll be here. And she told me. And I went back to the church because I was at Calvary Chapel. And I went back to the church and I told them. I said, hey, you know what? This and this happened to me. And I said, I've got an opportunity to preach. And I said, I've never done that in my life. So I just started reading and that was it. And I brought a whole bunch of guys from Calvary Chapel with me when the day was. And I went there. And by the grace of God, that's been about 30 years ago. You see, I never dreamed to stand here in front of you and tell you how important and how blessed we are to know God. Yeah. We have everything with God. Without God, you've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. Yeah. When Peter Sear said that we must, okay, all of us must do what God tells us to do. You see, the Lord said, you call me Lord and well that you do, but why don't you do what I tell you to do? Why don't you obey me? Yeah. I want to read you something from Chuck Smith, okay? You know, he's, by the grace of God, he's up in heaven with the Lord. And this was something that he wrote a long time ago. And I want you to see how that's happening today, okay? He said, the natural man hates conviction. The purpose of the liberals is to remove all taboos so the person can commit almost any kind of action without feeling guilty. This is why they want to promote what they term sexual liberation. Anything goes as long as they are consenting adults. They are trying to remove the guilt feelings of committing fornication, adultery, homosexuality. They hate the Bible. They hate the Ten Commandments. They can't stand to have them placed on the wall of the school classroom, and they wonder how these young people can commit such heinous, shocking crimes and show no remorse. Yeah. You see, when Jesus was here, there was a lot of bad stuff going on, and it's still going on today. Yeah. But somehow, some way, you know, we have the opportunity, okay, to pray. You see, a lot of times I get things like, well, I don't know how to pray. Do you talk to people? You talk on the telephone? What do you do? Tell lies over the phone, or you know? Or do you enjoy talking to someone? You know. See, when you pray, you just sit down and talk to God. Sometimes about 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night, my house is quiet. My wife's already in bed. I go and I sit down on the couch, turn everything off. I just sit there. I said, Lord, I just want to talk to you and I want to listen. Yeah. I get calls throughout the week. So somebody got hurt, somebody's missing, somebody's committing adultery, somebody's separating. Constantly. All right. And I don't get it from people who don't know God. I get it from people who are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but you see, if they want to arrest me for sharing the word of God, for helping people, for loving people, let them go ahead and do it. But I will serve my Jesus until the day that he calls me home. I've already found out, okay, there's nothing in this world that can compare to that in my life. Nothing. You see, you don't know my story, yeah, but God does. And there was no way that I have the right or the privilege or nothing to be standing here in front of you. You see, I broke my life, man, my family's life in pieces, totally. I became an alcoholic. And yet, God, one day I cried out and I said, "Dear God, please help me. Because if you don't help me, I'm going to die." And from that day to this day, God has been faithful and loving and helping me every day of my life. Every day of my life. Yeah. I don't know. I work, and sometimes I have people that come up and they want to, "Man, oh, man, you're great." And I said, "No, God's great." Yeah. Remember the old expression that the man said that he called Jesus good, and he said, "There's only one that's good, and that's God." You see, that's why I shared with you that without God, you're not going to get it done. Amen? I don't care who you are, okay? I don't care what you think you want to do. I don't care how much money you have. The only reason you have what you have is because God's given it to you. Okay? But through it all, you see, if your relationship with God is not there, you're not going to have a peace in your life. See, these guys were in jail for doing something good. I don't know, you know, what it takes for us to understand that. Because, see, a lot of, don't do that, because if you do that, they're not going to like you. What difference does it make? Did God tell you to do it? God cares for you, and he loves you. And I'll tell you what, when you're walking, I don't care how heavy the load is, all right, he'll say, "Let me carry it for you." Some people want to know how I do it. I'm 82 years old, and by the grace of God, I work every day of my life that I can. And sometimes the work is very hard, but I just thank God for being able to do it. Yeah? I thank God for giving me the ability to do it. Yeah? You know, this is the whole thing. Sometimes we want to complain about the little aches and pains and what have you. You guys all see Brother Richard here, Pastor Richard, you know. He's been that way since he was young. And yet, I'll tell you what, he loves to come. He loves to be involved. Okay. He loves God. Amen? Amen. See, some people say, "Well, I don't have this." No. I'll tell you what, you want to take a look at Richard. He doesn't have a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, he gives it everything he's got. Yeah. And it's the same way with all of us here. We come. Yeah, let me, and I say this, please don't misunderstand it. You know, when you have something bothering you, when you have something that's troubling you, yeah, talk to God. And the opportunities are open here. The pastor's here always asking, "You want You want to talk to God? Come on up. We'll talk together. Yeah. How can we pray for you? How can we encourage you? Yeah. You see, if you don't want that and you don't want to take it, that's up to you, because, you see, when you go home, you start complaining to your neighbors or to somebody else who really can't do anything about it because they're not God. See, I've taken a shortcut. I go to God and I leave it there. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but you opened up the opportunity, so here it is. Yeah. Yeah. You know, with your help, I know that the right thing is going to happen. Yeah. And surprisingly enough, when God does something for you, I have some people that call me and they tell me, well, I had this happen to me and I don't understand it. I said, was it good or bad? No, it was good. I said, did you thank God for it? Well, I didn't know who sent it to me. I didn't know who did it. I said, the Word of God says that all good things come from up above. So I said, why don't you just take a shortcut and say, thank you. Hey, thank you. See, it's not a complicated thing. Mike McIntosh, my pastor, taught us many years ago. He said, when you're driving in a car, he said, get a couple of signs. You know, put them on a piece of paper or on a cardboard. And he said, and when you come to a red light, he said, just take one up and go like this. You know? Yeah. And he said, you can put whatever you want. I love Jesus. He said, what's the reaction? And see what they do. Yeah. Yeah. See, you're not telling them a joke. You're telling them the truth. But you'd be surprised how it will impact people. A little sign on a car that says, how is your life going? And underneath it says, without Jesus. Answer that. See, because I'll tell you what, the question is, he's the only one that can fix it. See, so you're asking a question, but you're giving the answer as to who can fix it. And it's the same way with your lives. See, I don't know that you have been in jail for sharing the Lord or for doing a miracle for God, but what would happen if you were? Yeah? All of a sudden, we walked out of here and there's somebody at the corner down here, and you had a chance to go ahead and pray for them, and they'd get up and start running and praising God, and the police would come up. What did you do? I healed that person. Well, come on, you're under arrest. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I did it in God's name. No. Just go. God's got another reason for you to go to jail. See, when Paul and Silas were in there, remember, they were singing, okay? They were praising God for being in jail. See, we complain an awful lot about a lot of different things. But the fact of it is that we're blessed. And, you know, I want to encourage you in one aspect. When the opportunity for prayer is given out here, that's an opportunity that God is opening up. And whatever it is, okay, even if you're grateful about everything that God is doing, come on up and share it. Amen? Last week, we had the chance to witness Rising Star give us his testimony last week. He works for me. And we talk about God all day long. We go into houses and work. And we pray for people. We pray for families. We encourage them how much God loves them. Yeah. Wherever they may be. And we do that every day. Yeah. What a blessing it is to walk with God and allow God to use you. You see, persecution. The Word of God said you're going to be persecuted for His name's sake. A lot of people don't like persecution. A lot of people want everything nice and easy, all put together. But see, that's not the way Jesus had it. Amen? You see, He came and He did everything for you and me. And look at what they did to Him. You know, stop and think about your children, grandchildren. I tell my wife, we encourage our children, our grandchildren. We write letters, we write cards, and when we put in there, we always include God in those cards. Because you see, He's the one that's given them up to us, and you know, they need Him. Yeah. But we need to tell others about how good God is to you, to me, to this body here. Amen? God bless you.